on my saying, "What have I to do with the sacredness of traditions if I live wholly from within?" my friend suggested, "But these impulses may be from below, not from above." I replied, "They do not seem to me to be such, but if I am the devil's child, I will live then from the devil. No law can be sacred to me but that of my nature." In actuality, I provide this condensed classics edition of Self-Reliance for three reasons. 1. I have no idea whether Emerson would have approved, but he was very keen and shrewd about seeing that his works reached a broad general readership. After delivering a public lecture, the philosopher would quickly and adroitly issue it in pamphlet form, ensuring that the approval or calumny that greeted his public address, and he was served by both responses, would lift the work's notability and publication. 2. Emerson was not shy about revisions. He revised and edited some of his best-known essays until his death in 1882. He was not priggish about editorial changes, provided those changes served a good and noble end, about which I will say more. 3. I harbor the conviction that some readers and listeners will be introduced to the insights of this splendorous work in no other form than that which is containable within a lunch hour or morning commute. I harbor equal conviction that some among that number, and you will know yourselves by the end of this short volume, will be so moved by the ideas found in it that you will become lifelong readers of Emerson's original. Indeed, an abridgment doesn't detract from the original. It advertises a work to new readers and shines its rays into the lives of those who otherwise might not experience it at all. Speaking of advertising, I am reminded of a wonderful essay that the legendary ad man David Ogilvy once wrote in defense of Reader's Digest. Ogilvy noted, "Some highbrows may look down their noses at the Digest, charging it with superficiality and oversimplification. There is a modicum of justice in this charge. You can learn more about the Congo if you read about it in Foreign Affairs Quarterly, and you can learn more about Abraham Lincoln in Carl Sandburg's books about him. But have you time?" I claim the same mantle of practicality for this work. Finally, how does one abridge Self-Reliance? How do you select among the master's well-chosen and lapidary words? Well, that part was easy. I have read and reread Self-Reliance more times than I can keep track of over the past 20 years. Again and again, I have underlined, highlighted, and bracketed passages that speak to my heart. By the very logic of Emerson's essay, those portions that repeatedly speak to my heart speak to all hearts. It is those penetrating words that I have preserved here. May they deliver you to your highest insights as they illuminate what you already know within and are waiting to rediscover. When this rediscovery occurs, may you join the fraternity of people for whom Emerson's masterwork is a lifetime companion. Mitch Horowitz. Self-Reliance. I read the other day some verses written by an eminent painter which were original and not conventional. The soul always hears an admonition in such lines, let the subject be what it may. The sentiment they instill is of more value than any thought they may contain. To believe your own thought, to believe that what is true for you in your private heart is true for all men, that is genius. In every work of genius, we recognize our own rejected thoughts. They come back to us with a certain alienated majesty. There is a time in every man's education when he arrives at the conviction that envy is ignorance, that imitation is suicide, that he must take himself, for better, for worse, as his portion, that though the wide universe is full of good, no kernel of nourishing corn can come to him but through his toil bestowed on that plot of ground which is given to him to till. We but half express ourselves and are ashamed of that divine idea which each of us represents. It may be safely trusted as proportionate and of good issues, so it be faithfully imparted, but God will not have his work made manifest by cowards. A man is relieved and gay when he has put his heart into his